episode 5.
Hi.
It's Mindful Mondays, but we are focusing on the next several weeks on emotionally focused couples therapy, which I love. I've been to. I had never heard of it until about 2 years ago when I came to see you. Is it really new? I mean, and I know you answered this early on, but how new is it?
Actually, it's been around for quite a while.
Okay.
It was developed by Dr. Sue Johnson and Les Greenberg.
Years ago?
Yeah, years ago. And Sue Johnson had done a lot of the research about what is it that's working with couples that helps them repair disconnection. And this is how she kind of developed this model, was actually looking at tapes of what was working in the couples therapy that she was doing. And so this model has actually been around for a while.
Wow. Mm-hmm. It seems like it's becoming more mainstream.
Yes.
In the past couple of years.
Yes. I think it's just as we are learning about emotions more, and we're learning about the value and the research that's being done about emotions out there is becoming more and more relevant.
I love it. Well, I'm excited about today's episode because one of the biggest things that comes up for couples and relationships is cheating. It
yes.
seems to happen a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's always in the news. We see it more and more. So, I mean, I could have 1,000 questions on this episode too,
yes.
but tell me this. Can couples overcome cheating?
Absolutely.
Really?
Couples can overcome cheating, yes.
What's the percentage of couples that come to you that infidelity is their issue?
I would say about 50% of couples that come have had some type of infidelity issue, and it ebbs and flows,
wow.
you know, kind of within the percentage, but at times I've had up to 50% of the couples having experienced that at some point.
Okay, so, you know, when we came to you, we learned sort of the underlying emotional meaning of
yes.
why couples cheat, but I still don't think that is mainly accepted, you know?
Right.
I think most people
mm-hmm.
see a cheater as like, I mean, you know, you're just a dog and how could you do this? And, you know, but when you get into the nitty gritty, people cheat for very emotional reasons. Is that
oftentimes,
right? Okay.
Oftentimes. And that's what we believe in attachment theory, or those of us that work from attachment theory, that cheating or affairs oftentimes are a symptom of disconnection somehow in the relationship.
Wow.
And so what we have to do, and it's a very painful thing for couples to experience, and we have to help them kind of understand what has been happening in the relationship. What is it that maybe is unknown? Sometimes people don't even know that they're having needs that aren't being met, and that the cheating becomes a symptom of figuring that out. It's kind of like the thing that brings them in to be able to look at themselves in a deeper way, to move the relationship actually into a deeper place by discovering what this means. And
so what are some of the things
yeah.
that are meant? Like, people get so emotionally disconnected, like what we've talked about, that then one of the people begins to look for that emotional connectedness somewhere else?
Often. Yeah.
Okay.
Oftentimes somebody's, you know, feeling really disconnected, and maybe they thought they've tried over and over again to get their partner's engagement in some way and it hasn't been happening, so they eventually give up. Sometimes it can be just not feeling like your partner is a team with you, and especially when this day and age, with the stress levels that we have and the time, we don't have a lot of time together.
Right.
Right. And so oftentimes there's other people in our environments that we begin to form relationships with just
sure.
because we spend more time with them, whether it's at work.
Right.
Exactly. So I don't think most people are intending to get into affairs or cheating. But what we do know is it can be a symptom of disconnection in the relationship.
So, okay, tell me this. Like, when, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure people listening to this are going to be like, okay, my significant other carried on an affair for like 6 months. How could they really
yeah.
be? I mean, it's so detrimental when they find out.
Right.
How do you even begin to bring a couple back together?
Yes. Well, it's a process. Oftentimes I will recommend that people seek some individual therapy as well. Sometimes that's needed. And so it depends on the assessment of what type of affair it is and There's different types of affairs. Sometimes there's sexual addiction that actually may be there, and that's going to look differently than somebody who's had, you know, just a one-time affair or a one-moment affair. Or so it kind of depends. We have to look at the context that the affair was in.
Wow. And I recently actually had read, too, that more women are cheating than ever before. Yeah. Because, and it was a great CNN article, and it talked a lot about emotional needs. And it basically said a lot of women feel like one man cannot provide like all the emotional needs. They have physical needs. So they end up sort of having these very casual affairs. Sometimes their husbands know about it. Sometimes they don't. So are you seeing more women cheating, or do you think it's like...
I would say, again, I'm seeing that's probably more, or it's equalized in my practice and what I see, that women are having affairs just as often as men are.
So why do you think that is? Because to me, I feel like it is that... I feel like it's hard for straight men to like really get us. Don't you? I mean, I feel like sometimes it's really, you know, because I think they can go through emotions, couple therapy, they do a lot, but I feel like they're still like so, you know, that whole men are from Venus, you know, women are from Mars or whatever the hell it is. You know, I feel like it's like that we are like different planets.
Right. So why, you know, women may be having affairs because there's more opportunities now. You know, they're in environments, you know, work environments now, or community situations where they're in contact with people who they're attracted to, you know, whether it's over something they're involved with, an organization they're involved with, or a work environment. There's just more opportunities, I think. And also there's maybe attitudes have been changing too about women and sex, and there's not as much stigma about it. So if someone is having casual sex or involved in a sexual affair, that may be a little bit different too. A lot of times I think people think that women may just be emotionally have emotional affairs, but I think there's both that are out there.
So, I mean, in your experience, do you think monogamy is natural? Like, do you think that we are mostly programmed for monogamy, or no?
I think we are biologically wired to need other people, and so monogamy is one of the ways and the most efficient and effective way to get our needs met. And I think for couples that don't choose monogamy, it happens. People choose it all the time, but there's also a lot of trust, a lot of their relationship has to be have a certain trust level in it to be able to have a different type of relationship. But I know for me, you know, monogamy to me is what I'm really helping couples connect around and feel safe with and build their safe and secure connection around.
So I'm sure over the years you probably have had people that are either in open relationships or know of infidelity. You think is that pretty hard to pull off?
It's hard.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it's just, even as open as communicating as you think you are, people feel end up.
Yeah.
Feeling.
Yeah. And it goes back to, I think, our survival code and trusting, really being able to trust that our partner's there for us and that we're going to be a priority when we need to be, especially at times under stress. And so sometimes when there's other relationships outside of it, that can erode that at times. And so couples who choose to have relationships in that way have a lot of work to do around building and keeping trust, and that's got to be hard. I can't imagine. That's a lot of work. That's too
one person's a lot, let alone multiple. Okay, tell me this, because when we were coming to see you and over the years when I've talked to Robin, you know, Robin will also say too, is that a lot of times an affair is sort of the thing that brings people back together. So tell you kind of elaborated on that, but tell us more of like the positive outcomes that have happened for your clients after they've had infidelity.
So what I've seen with my couples who've really been able to move through infidelity and affairs is that there's a deeper, safer, and more secure bond that gets developed. And there's a deeper understanding of who they are in their relationship and what their needs are, and a greater connection to that. And in working through the affair, we discover and distill these things that were always there. We just didn't know that were there. They were never highlighted. They were never attended to. And so couples actually, as they move through repairing from an affair, build a deeper, safer, more emotionally connected relationship, which is oftentimes what they weren't getting in the first place, or where they were disconnected. And then you work through, and now they have what they want.
God, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is, because it's just, to me, like, I loved hearing that from you, because you hear in society all the opposite messages.
Yes.
You know, which I think is why I love, love, love doing this series with you, because I think everything that we learned from you is like nothing that you hear in the public. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It seems like it's always like, and that saying, once a cheater, always a cheater. Do you find in your experience that's true?
Not always, no. If there are patterns of behavior of kind of serial cheating, then there's probably something else going on. There may be more of an addiction going on. There's some other deeper work that an individual would have to do where they're not able to engage in the relationship in the way that their partner needs, or to be in a healthy relationship. And so that's when, if they're not able to heal from the affair, there might be bigger things going on. And that's what we have to assess kind of at the beginning of therapy.
What about too, when kids are involved? You know, how does that up the ante? Because, you know, I've got friends that their parents cheated on each other, and that seems to always stick with them as well.
Yes.
So tell me that. Do kids complicate that more?
I think when kids find out about it, or when they know that it happens, right? Remember, we're developing our blueprint for what healthy relationships look like. And I think it can be very painful for children to find out or to see that's happening in the relationship. Mm. But going back to, if a couple's working through it and they're able to do it, and they have children who know about it or who have found out about it,
right?
I would want them to do some what we call repair work with their own children around finding out about this and the pain that may have been caused to them unintentionally, but just because they see their parents so disconnected and upset, and that's hard, and they have to understand why.
That's amazing. Yeah. Amazing that people can work through that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lee has tons, more information. She is taking on new clients, although she's currently full. So she's got a waiting list, which you can join at leeconan.com. And if you have questions, you can also leave those on my Facebook page as well. If you've got any questions as this ongoing series and emotionally focused couples therapy, my Facebook page is Sarah Fraser. Just hit pages. You can like it there. Next week, though, we're going to talk love language. You hear a lot about that word of love language. And I don't even know if I really know what it means or if it's real.
Okay. We'll talk about it.
So that'll be next, you guys, on episode 6. We'll see you next week. Thanks, Lee.
See you then.